Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Kaya Biz.
This is Kaya Biz
with Gule Tumfupi.
On the street, on the air.
On Kaya959.
A little while ago, I asked you a simple question that really speaks to how you do your payments. We think of it as a simple transaction where I send you money, you send me money using my cell phone number, maybe an app, maybe directly to my bank account. And what we take for granted is the complexities of the system in the background. But typically when you make payments, how do you make payments? Do you rely on cash? Do you carry cash often? Or do you prefer your card? And when you use your card, are you tapping the physical card with your name, date, and expiration year on it? Or maybe living in the digital age where you're tapping your smartwatch, tapping your smartphone? Let me know, because ultimately your behavior, including my own within the payments environment, is likely going to shape, influence, and is already defined by some institutions who are involved in major deals, mergers and acquisitions, and innovations that they bring into the fore. If you were on Twitter X about Friday, you would have noticed that the former CEO of FNB, Mr. Michael Yordan, who is someone who has started and founded Bank Zero, put out a little post and he said, "We did a little deal." Wink. Well, that deal is not so little, because it was later revealed Lesaka Technologies, well-known technology player within the virtual payment system in South Africa, has made an offer to acquire Bank Zero for well over R1 billion. Now, the deal has yet to go through any regulatory approvals, but this is significant, especially when it comes to the payments environment in South Africa. Well, at least that's my reading of it. But someone who has a wealth of knowledge and understanding of banks as well as financial services in South Africa, together with the complexities of understanding how business often tries to ensure that they meeting the needs of customers, but also influencing their future behavior, we joined now by banking analyst and director at Denker Capital, Koki Koyman. Koki, such a pleasure to touch base with you, sir. I think the last time I spoke to you must have been at MoneyWeb with Ali Kog back in the day. Such a delight to touch base with you.
Yeah, indeed.
100%. I guess first things first, Koki, the deal between Bank Zero and Lesaka Technologies, does it make sense?
Yes. If I was Michael, I would have held out longer. Because Bank Zero started in 2018, and they have done 4 to 5 years of hard team that started it, and forgone their salaries, forgone bonuses, walked away from good packages, mostly including share options from wherever they were. And now, getting together, the bank, we're testing the bank first, family and friends, and then gradually also clients. And the deposits are still a tiny R400 million, which is actually 0.2% of Capitec's deposit base. So you can see how small Bank Zero still is, but it's growing at about 50%. So I'm not sure if you had continued along that road for another year or two, you could have increased whoever attracted more attention and got a better purchase price. But I think the main thing of banking is obviously distribution, which when you look at other fintechs and even Time Bank in South Africa, and you've got players like Nubank in Brazil, and so your big problem is the narrowness of your product. And I think why they did the transaction now with Lesaka is to get access to a broader fintech team with more products, so they can A, cross-sell, and obviously at the same time offer more products to their client base quicker. Mm-hmm. So I think, when you look at it all, it does make sense for banks here. It certainly makes a lot of sense for Lesaka. They get a bank inside their fold that they can use, and also obviously cross sell and grow their profitability. I think it's a deal that makes sense for both. Bear in mind, it's all fairly small. Sadly, 1.1 billion sounds a lot, but with the rand having depreciated a lot, it's only $61 million, which in American terms is small. But that is actually an attraction. The smaller means you are fresher, you can be more nimble, and that's really what Bankzero has done. Whereas your large banks have huge legacy systems, you can be a lot quicker in targeting specifically what clients want.
Got you. Let's talk about the competitiveness within the banking space, Gorky. You've monitored this for years on end. We've seen the rise of Capitec, even the evolution of African Bank, and how the Big Four still do their best to remain very resilient. Bankzero with Lesaka, how does this add a different dynamic to the environment, especially as a digital player who, as you say, is still looking to grow in terms of some of their numbers?
Bankzero, actually, as the name indicates, Michael Rodan and his team from the beginning set out to try and get transaction costs to be zero.
Yes.
And literally that means you don't pay transaction costs. As you know, transaction costs over time actually add up quite a lot to businesses and to individuals. Now, initially, that was possible, obviously, because he did get his larger clients to make deposits at low or zero interest rates, and he invested that in government bonds, which get, or in other securities, which get you quite a nice interest income. But over time, he believes, when I spoke to him last, and he's quite vocal on that, he believes that banking will go the route of Google and other advertisers being in a space where large corporates will pay for advertising on your space. And So Bankzero, the key was A, low or no bank costs.
Yeah.
And number two, he's focused on that. And that's why, because being so small, being so fresh, on very simple, transparent onboarding of clients, and very easy to use transactions. And the other thing, which is very important today, is in terms of cybercrime, making sure it's a very safe. So initially, he's focusing a lot on, and that is interesting. The Saka did the same. He was focusing on smaller and SMEs, your small, medium enterprises, who are often underserved. Now, Capitec has been really growing there rapidly because they also saw that gap when they bought Mercantile Bank, and that's where most of the growth is coming from for Capitec. So, you know, it's still a space where all the banks are, but the guys like Capitec and Bankzero have the best technology and offer the best payment solutions, as you referred to at the beginning. You know, they, I think, will certainly they will have a head start.
Got you. This is intriguing, Gorky, because when I look at it as a consumer, but also just understanding the shifts that are taking place within the payment system, payments environment in South Africa, I guess this is where the benefit of being in both worlds, banked and unbanked, will work for Lesaka. With its technologies like Kazang and EasyPay, and then Bankzero as a mutual bank, having already gone through the hoops of the regulatory environment through the Prudential Authority. How do you see this influencing or playing a bigger role in terms of payments specifically, and that being the competitive edge for this institution?
Yeah, so as you said in your introduction, the payment space is still evolving so rapidly. I recall, I think it was about 10 years ago, where we used to go and see the Turkish banks, and the Turkish banks already then had smart watch technology where you could pay for your coffee at,
at 10 a coffee years shop ago.
With your watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was 10 years already. So in that regard, the rest of the world has been slower to catch up, but we certainly leading edge in South Africa, especially with what Discovery Bank has been doing, Time Bank, Capitec, and, you know, these banks spend a lot of money on technology. And what obviously differentiates Bankzero as well is being branchless, so it's digital only, which is not ideal for your more older and more established clients, but for your underbanked, it is going to be interesting to see if they are attracted. Capitec found in all their studies that the lower-end clients often want a branch as well.
Yes.
Yeah, just for those more technical questions or things that they just don't understand, that end of the market enjoys going into the branch, sitting with someone face-to-face, and then just making sure they understand what is happening and what is being. Thereafter, they find to transact digitally. Or so it's going to be interesting whether time and this Zero and this the SOCO can make inroads there. But yes, that is the main target at the moment, that underserved part of the market that feels they don't get the right service.
It's going to be so interesting to review. Kokkie, we can't wait to touch base with you again in future to get your perspective on this one and so many other themes in the financial services space. Thank you again for your time.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. That's Kokkie Kooyman, Banking Analyst and Director at Denker Capital, joining us tonight to share his perspective on the proposed acquisition of Bank Zero by Lesaka Technologies. It's a deal that's said to be worth 1.1 billion rand. For many of us, when we think of Michael Yordan, my first interaction with him was as CEO of FNB at the time. And that's when the bank itself had also rolled out the likes of e-wallet and so many e-bucks as well, so many other innovative technologies. But since then, he really has been an active player within the venture capital space, private equity as well, with the launch of Bank Zero together with his business partner, and even actively participating in the likes of Rain, the network provider in terms of data and technology. Don't forget Lesaka as well. Lesaka has also evolved as a business. It was formerly known as NetOne years ago under the leadership of Serge Bellamont, and at the time it dominated the market in South Africa through the social grant distributions, essentially paying social grants, which you can imagine was a big deal in terms of the revenue stream and the size of that particular tender. But most importantly, there was some concerns in terms of leadership and governance challenges that came about there. Since then, under the leadership and transition of leaders who have come after Serge Bellamont, two, if I'm not mistaken, on the back of that, Lesaka Technologies has really built itself out to be a global fintech player. If you think about EasyPay, they essentially are around that technology. Kazang, if you happen to use a point of sale device or happen to be a merchant or small player in the business environment, these are the kind of technologies that they use. They're also one of the companies that plays a significant role within the Payments Association of South Africa. That's a new partnership of payment platforms, PayShap, the likes of Kazang with Lesaka and so many others who have come on board to basically be a group and a lobby group, essentially providing so that prioritizing and providing the interests and focus of payments in South Africa and how they've shifted. So I'm quite keen to hear this one. It's a big deal. Lots of regulatory controls and shifts that need to take place to try businesses and individuals who themselves have legacy, well-respected within the South African business fraternity, and have been active adopters of innovation and change and the evolution of the business of financial services and banking as we know it. But it always comes down to you and I. Right? Ultimately, how these businesses respond, how they shape the landscape is fundamentally to make our lives better as customers, right? And either we drive that narrative through our usage and they follow through, or they create the solutions and innovation that we didn't even know we needed. And then we adapt. So let me know, when you participate in payments, we'll keep it simple, just payments. We haven't even gone into loans and how you manage your credit and the likes. But when you make a payment, how often do you carry cash? Do you use cash, or are you someone who uses apps when you enter certain parking malls and vicinities and just have it automatically deducted from your credit card? Cash or card? And even if you're using your card, is it still your usual plastic, or are you a tap and pay person? And does it also depend on where you are in the world, in this country? Because if there's anything we know about South Africa, we really are a dual economy. The informal and the very formal sector. You might make your way in and around Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban, in parking lots, through restaurants and various other places, just using your phone or your watch in order to facilitate payments. But sometimes when we go back home, and we mean home, many South Africans still rely on cash. And I say this because a good friend of mine, Ngaba Mapeke, sent me a text earlier and he says, well, he's a boy from the Eastern Cape living his best life in Joburg. Here, he uses his card wire for obvious reasons, including safety. But when he's back in rural Eastern Cape, it's still the 90s, he describes it. Coins and paper is the way to go. And I get caught with my pants down every time. Well, his pockets empty maybe versus his pants down. But that's the point. Does it also depend where you are in the world when it comes to using cash? And maybe not the world. Let's just talk about South Africa. Given the diverse experiences that we have as a community and as a population. When you pay, cash card or tap and go? Let us know. 063-688-0859.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.